Just a prayer. Lord, we ask that what we know not, you would teach us. What we have not, you would give us. What we are not, you would make us. For the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. This is a wonderful subject to speak on in terms of the transfiguration of Jesus up the mountain where Moses and Elijah appeared with him. And the Bible speaks of two worlds. The world that's so real to us, that we live in, we touch it, we feel it, we're nourished by it. But it also speaks of another world, which is not the seen world, but the unseen world. And sometimes Jesus would have called that the kingdom of God, where the future is breaking into the present. And the Bible is the story of these two interacting worlds. You know, when a child looks into a microscope for the first time, they're really excited because they see in detail things that they couldn't have seen otherwise. They see shapes and colours, and they're really excited by it. The transfiguration reveals that hidden world breaking into our present. At the baptism of Jesus, you remember that he was baptized by John the Baptist, and when he came out of the waters, the Greek says that the heavens were torn open. It's a violent word. The heavens were torn open, and a voice was heard speaking, "This is my son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." Now, that wasn't a make-believe story. It was a real event. The hidden world breaking into the present. And the story of the Transfiguration is similar. It describes what seems to be an actual event. This was not a bright light shining on Jesus. The Greek word for this transfiguration is metamorphosis, and we know that word, especially in science. The word transfigured, then, is a word that describes a change on the outside that comes from the inside. And metamorphosis is about a physical change, a change in structure, and often associated with the supernatural. Now, when he was at the mountain, the three disciples were with him, Peter, James, and John, and they saw two figures alongside Jesus. And amazingly, they knew who they were. They were Moses, the great lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet, who brought the word of God to his people, sometimes in very dramatic ways. And the word used here is stilbine, a word used for a glistening gleam of burnished bronze or gold, or the golden glare of a bright sun. It was so bright, and it was coming from the inside of Jesus. It was always there, but on this occasion, it was revealed. The veil was, as it were, torn aside. And the Jewish scriptures tell of various events like this in the Old Testament story, Moses and the burning bush. He saw it was on fire, but it was not being consumed. And it arrested his attention, and he went closer, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, "Take off your shoes, you are standing on holy ground." Now, that was a real event, an encounter with God. And also we think of Joshua and the where he met the commander of the Lords of Hosts. We think of Elijah ascending to heaven and Elisha seeing him and taking up his mantle. Now, these were actual events, And what they were was that the veil of ordinariness that normally prevents us from seeing the inside is drawn back and a fuller reality is revealed. And James and John and Peter witness to this, and they're given a view of what is going to happen, which amazingly was going to strengthen them when it did happen. Because Jesus, before this, told them that he was going to die at the hands of the Jews. And we see this world with many layers and dimensions, but sometimes those dimensions are torn aside and we see what is hidden. The disciples knew that it was Moses and Elijah. Elijah was taken up into heaven. Moses died, but it says in the text that God buried him. So his grave is unknown. And they were with Jesus. And then a cloud covered them. And the cloud in Jewish thoughts always symbolized the presence of God. The cloud filled Solomon's temple when it was being dedicated. The cloud filled Ezekiel's vision of the temple. The cloud covered Mary when she was conceiving that child, Jesus. And the cloud took Jesus up into heaven at his ascension. You know, it was the Jewish dream that when the Messiah came, the cloud of God's presence would fill the temple. Well, it did fill the temple, because the temple was actually no longer going to be the physical structure, but it was the temple of God revealed in Jesus. And in a sense, the cloud is saying here that this is the Messiah, he has come. Peter makes an inane suggestion, which is, let's build a tent for each one of you. Then the cloud comes and he's silenced. But Peter is a lovable character. He's bold, he's courageous, he says what he thinks and feels. Don't we need more people like that in the church today? Courageous and bold. Now the Transfiguration, I just want to say, really has a twofold significance. The first is, it did something precious for Jesus. Jesus had made a choice to go towards Jerusalem and to accept the cross. He had to be sure that it was right to go on. And on the mountaintop, he received a double approval, both from Moses and Elijah. They were encouraging him to go on. And it's interesting, in Luke's gospel, which records this, Moses and Elijah were speaking to Jesus about the Exodus, about his departure. The first Exodus, Moses had led the people out of bondage in Egypt into the promised land. And here is Jesus in the second Exodus going to lead his people out of sin and death into the gift of eternal life. So they spoke about his departure, and just as Moses had led them, Jesus is going to do the same. And then there comes a voice from heaven. Only twice was this voice heard. One at his baptism, and then at this moment. And it's as though the Father is saying to Jesus, you are acting as my beloved Son. Go on. Go on. So the mountaintop, Jesus was assured that the decision he was making to go to that cross was actually in the Father's plan. So it did something for Jesus. It strengthened and encouraged him. Wouldn't you be encouraged if the Father's voice said to you, you're my son, you're my daughter whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. I believe God would say that to you, that you are loved. And it did something precious for the disciples. They had been blown apart, but after Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, they had been blown apart when Jesus then says, I'm going to die at the hands of the Jews. They might have thought this was a dreadful mistake, but this mountaintop experience assured them that it was in the plan of God, and they would understand it more fully after his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And this word from heaven assured the disciples that this suffering that lay ahead was right in the center of God's plan. And they would be witnesses of that to the world that they took this message out to. I want to draw to a close by saying, what does this say to us? It's a wonderful story and encounter to look back on. But what does it say to us? Well, it says this: we are not a people who just look at what we see with our visual eyes, but we are seers of an unseen world. There are times, maybe in our lives, where we sense the presence of God and God touching us. Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth who were suffering, said this: we do not lose heart. They were being persecuted by the emperor. We do not lose heart. Though our outward body is fading away, our inward body is being renewed day by day. So, he said, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. And prayer is to engage with an unseen world. Prayer is to come into the presence of God through Jesus and to be able to bring our praise, our gratitude, our thanks, and our petitions to him. And I just want to say, prayer makes an amazing difference. Sometimes we might feel we're speaking to the air, but no, we're speaking to the Father. I was on a retreat with 20 people last weekend, and one of them was a wonderful saint called David, and he has had a tremendous ministry, and he's 92, and he's very frail, and when we were talking and sharing about the Lord, he said, the other day I was in prayer, and something happened. Something changed in the atmosphere, and I felt incredibly infused with the presence of God. And I heard a voice say, David, you are beloved. You are beloved. And I felt I was drawn into the very love of God. Now, I believe that. I mean, he was speaking about it with tears. A voice that was croaking, a minister of the gospel for so many years, and the Lord showed him something that was unseen, but the veil was taken aside, and he saw his future. And I believe it was a wonderful promise, David, the best is yet to be. What Corrie ten Boom, when she was in concentration camp, her sister Betsy, she said, this is terribly hard. And her sister Betsy said to her, Corrie, the best is yet to come. And David experienced that. And I just want to say, I do with Annie quite a bit with the Open Doors and the Persecuted Church. And I've heard one or two wonderful stories. Many in the Muslim world, in the Middle East, are seeing what they call a man in white. They never see his face, but they see his presence. And one of them was in prison being tortured and was almost at his wit's end. And he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw Jesus kneeling at his bedside on the floor. He didn't see his face, but he knew it was Jesus. And he received tremendous strength and comfort from it. And he became a Christian because of that dream. And that's happening a great deal in the Muslim world. Many speak of God coming to them. And we shouldn't be surprised by that, because the writer to the Hebrews speaks about angels coming to bring strength to us. They are ministering spirits who come to bring strength to us in moments of need. And maybe we've seen angels, but we haven't recognized it. A car crash that was avoided. So don't be afraid of the future. I just want to close with this lovely story of Elijah. Elisha, his the prophet who followed him, when he was hemmed in by the Arameans, and his servant saw the chariots and etc. of the Aramean army, and he cried out in fear. And Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And he said, "Lord, open his eyes." And the eyes of his servant were opened, and he saw on the hill hundreds of chariots and horsemen. The veil was torn aside, and he saw the protection that was there and was unafraid. Dear friends, we live in a world which has two realities. And I want to say to myself and to you, be open to the unseen world. Because sometimes we may miss seeing what God is doing. So, Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for his transfiguration. Thank you that you are at work today. And we ask that we may have eyes to see what you are doing, and even to know your help given to us in times of need. And even as we pray for the Gaza, the Palestinian people, suffering hugely, Lord, be present to them. May the man in white bring comfort and healing and hope. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.